You're listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent in Birmingham, Alabama, a church with a heart for the gospel. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.
I love being known as a friend of the Advent. The Church of the Advent has certainly been a friend to me over the years. And Patsy and I have found your hospitality once again boundless. After the service yesterday, one of you asked, have the Methodists invited you back to preach since you left? And I said, no, and that's really bad taste of you to ask me that. But thank goodness the Episcopalians. Well, thank you for this invitation. Psalm 139, oh Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from far away. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and settle to the farthest limits of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, your right hand shall hold me fast. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. When you Episcopalians say the creed, you have that phrase, suffered under Pontius Pilate, crucified, dead and buried, and then you say, and he descended into hell. Third day he rose from the dead. Methodists decided that the phrase, he descended to hell, was a jolt for sensitive Methodist ears, so we changed that to he descended to the dead, thinking that we knew more than 2,000 years of church history. But, you know, whether you say it, he descended to hell, or he descended to the dead, still quite a thing to say about God. God, by definition, God, high, lifted up, exalted, distant, detached, God up there, we're down here, God. Until we met Jesus Christ, whom we believe is as much of God as we ever hope to see. And when we met Jesus, we found out just how low God could go on a Friday afternoon on Golgotha. The church asked itself, what was Jesus doing those 3 days between when he was crucified, dead and buried, and then when he was resurrected? What was he doing on those 3 days? And the church responded, 1 Peter 3:19, he went to hell. 1 Peter 3:19, he preached to the spirits in bondage in hell. It's what the church traditionally called the harrowing of hell, the kicking open of hell, the retrieving of hell. What did he do? 1 Peter 3:19 says he went and preached to people that didn't get to hear him preach. He preached good news to them. Maybe that's what the Pope had in mind. The last Pope was asked, does the Catholic Church always teach that there is a hell? And the Pope said, absolutely. The Catholic Church has always taught there is a hell. But the Catholic Church has never taught who was in hell. In fact, we have never even taught that Judas Iscariot is in hell, the betrayer of our Lord. And so, even though there is a hell, and if Judas is not for sure in hell, even though there is a hell, maybe it's empty. said the Pope. He had to be thinking of 1 Peter 3:19. He descended to hell. My first month in Alabama, I remember the Anniston Star called me and said, the reporter said, I'm doing a story on preachers and hell. And I said, did you say preachers in hell? And he said, no, preachers talking about hell. And I've just interviewed a Baptist preacher, and he says every Sunday he always ends his sermons by reference to hell. And do you refer to it that much? I said, no, that's only one of the ways Methodists are different from Baptists. We're so nice, we don't think about hell anymore. We're too sophisticated. But that's ridiculous. But later I thought, you know, maybe in my kind of church, we don't talk about hell a lot. Because maybe we've limited church to the reasonably well-fixed, the reasonably healthy, the reasonably free and well-futured. And maybe church ought to be a place to take a little more seriously, that it is possible that the gospel is most applicable in those moments where, in the words of the psalm, when I make my bed in Sheol, when I make my bed in hell, where can I flee from your spirit? Even there you are. Maybe today the sun is shining for you. Maybe you don't need to believe the claim of the creed. He descended into hell. But you know it shall not always be. There's got to be a day in any life when the clouds gather and there is a late night phone call. The doctor comes back after your annual exam and you can read the words on her face before she speaks them. And then how do you feel? You descend. You are descending, forced to make your bed in Sheol. And it's then that you need to believe what the church teaches, that he descended to hell. In just a couple of Fridays from now, you'll gather here and you will be told that Christ goes to hell before any of us. That there, even there, God is there. And that is our hope. If the church doesn't have a word to speak into the darkness, we don't have a lot to say. If church is relevant only for the bright good days. I was talking to a woman the other day. I said, how's your new church going? She joined this church and she said, I'm miserable. And I said, oh, really? But why? I'm sorry. And she said, I'm at a happy church. I said, a happy church? What? And she said, our preacher comes out, just bounces out on Sunday morning, just grinning. Looks like he's on some kind of amphetamines or something, grinning. And he's just happy to be there. And aren't you happy to be here? I'm happy to be here. And we're all happy to be here. And our band is awesome. And isn't it awesome? And she said, it's hell being at a happy church. You don't need church. You don't need church to help you with your self-deceit about life's contingency and liminality and finitude. People on top always love to sing praise songs. That's when you're in charge of your life, and yeah, the world is good. No, you need the church to kind of gather you and to tell you, to teach you how to go to hell, about a God that, the kind of God that we've got, that refused to be trapped in eternity, but that descended to us. And maybe that part of that hope is that when we descend, that we're getting down on God's level, where God is. As training to be a minister, I was a student chaplain at Wesley Woods Recuperation Facility in Atlanta. First thing I learned is nobody hardly ever recuperated. People came in, they did not walk out. It was a euphemism. And I remember, as a student chaplain, watching them bring in this man with this entourage, and they brought him in on a stretcher, but he came and here was his secretary with a notepad, and she was taking dictation as he came in. He was dictating a letter to us as he came in. The nurse said, "He is the president of one of the biggest corporations in Atlanta. He's in bad shape, but he won't admit it. He's not going to come out of this." Well, they checked in that afternoon. I went to see him. It was on my floor, and I said, "Hello, I'm the student chaplain and wanted to get to know you." And he said, "I haven't asked for a chaplain. Get out of here. I am too busy to talk to some preacher. Get out of here. I'm busy." And he continued his dictation. And I made a couple of other attempts over the next couple of weeks, and still didn't want to talk. Didn't want any preachers hovering around him. Didn't want to see me, of all people. And I remember the afternoon, I could hear some wailing down at the end of the hall. I heard this howling. And I rushed down to the end of the hall. And the nurse came out, and she said to me, "Well, God got another one. Okay, preacher, he's yours. You can have him now. He's defenseless." It's kind of grim, and yet maybe it's only when we've descended that we can meet. In a church Sunday school class, they were discussing born again. Billy Graham had written a book, How to Be Born Again. So in the class, and they were talking about the concept of rebirth, new birth, and Christ, and I ask, has anybody here been, like, born again? A physician spoke up, and he said, "I was always a high achiever academically. I got into my college, my first choice college, and then I did so well, I got into my first choice medical school, and then I got into my first choice residency. And 1 year out of residency, I was pulling down over $200,000 a year." And I came home one night, as usual, about 10 o'clock. And I walked in, and on the kitchen table there was this note, and the note said, "We don't know you anymore. I'm taking the children. We're leaving." And for the first time in my life, what I wanted most, I couldn't have. I couldn't get it. I didn't know which way to, for the first time I was inept. I didn't know where to, and I fell down. I went down this abyss, 2,000 just fathoms abyss. I went down dark, and on just before I hit bottom, I reached out, and there was this hand waiting for mine. Maybe the hand had been there all the time. I don't know. But I got caught. I was saved. I was born again. Now, if you're smart, you'll be back here in a couple of Fridays when the sky turns dark and you will hear the Son of God Almighty cry out in prayer, "My God, my God, where are you?" Jesus' last words from the cross in agony, De Profundis, when the lights go out and the sky gets dark, that's what we tend to ask, "God, where are you?" Earlier, Jesus had told a parable. Yesterday, we referred to the criticism against Jesus, persistent criticism. This one welcomes sinners. He eats with them. And in response, Jesus told a story, one of his greatest hits. He said, there was a shepherd, had 100 sheep. One measly sheep wandered away from the flock. The shepherd left the flock and went out into the dark wilderness and beat the bushes and searched and searched and searched until he found the sheep. He went all the way and didn't stop searching until he got the sheep. And then he came back home and parted. That's who God is. Well, we rediscovered that on that dark Friday afternoon when he prayed. Where is God now? God's there on the cross. And God comes off the cross and refuses to rise from the tomb until he's first gone to hell to retrieve what he owns. Earlier, on a sunny day on some Galilean pleasant hill, Jesus' disciples said, "Lord, hey, teach us how to talk to God. Teach us what to say. Teach us how to pray." And he taught a prayer. You said it at the beginning of this service. When you pray, say this: "Our Father, who art in heaven, holy be your..." Well, on a dark Friday, on a hill called Golgotha, Jesus again teaches us how to pray. "Our Father, who art in hell."
You've been listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent. If you live in Birmingham or find yourself visiting, we hope you'll join us for one of our Sunday services. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.